Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. We are in the middle of such a great week together. The Holy Spirit is speaking to us, and in typical Burning Hearts fashion, only made it through like four verses. But this is an amazing passage from Paul in Philippians, and it's a challenging passage and one that we need the Holy Spirit to help us with. Because what we've been talking about is valuing Christ above everything, is being willing to lose it all, is being willing just being stripped of everything in our hearts, everything in our minds, of finding our worth, finding our satisfaction only in the Lord. Because what we see Paul saying over and over and over again is he is the one who's worth it. And I want to encourage you to go back and listen to our conversation these last couple of days. But he says he is the one who is worth it. And actually, he's worth losing everything for. I said this again over the last couple of days. Friends, Jesus isn't just a little bit more worth it than the world. He is worth everything. He is the most worth it. And everything else is worth it because of him. He is the only one who is worthy. No one else is worthy besides him. He is the one who is worthy, the one found worthy by the Father. And the Holy Spirit has been helping us. The Holy Spirit has been helping us to unpack this truth. And as we pray, and again today, ask for more of the Holy Spirit, that the Spirit of God would touch your heart and reveal to you the reward of Jesus. The majesty of Jesus, the beauty of Jesus, that he's worth giving up everything for. He is the treasure in the field. Amen? So we're going to continue on because Paul just continues to go in this passage and it's so, so good. So we're going to, again, read our psalm for the day. We're going to pray our psalm for the day and then we are going to jump in to Philippians chapter 3. So we're in Psalm 72, if you want to join me in prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Endow the king with your justice, O God, the royal son with your righteousness. May he judge your people in righteousness, your afflicted ones with justice. May the mountains bring prosperity to the people, the hills the fruit of righteousness. May he defend the afflicted among the people and save the children of the needy. May he crush the oppressor. May he endure as long as the sun, as long as the moon, through all generations. May he be like rain falling on a mown field, like showers watering the earth. In his days may the righteous flourish and prosperity abound till the moon is no more. May he rule from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. May the desert tribes bow before him and his enemies lick the dust. May the kings of Tarshish of the distant shores bring tribute to him. May the kings of Sheba and Seba present him gifts. May all kings bow down to him and all nations serve him. For he will deliver the needy who cry out, the afflicted who have no one to help. He will take pity on the weak and the needy and save the needy from death. He will rescue them from oppression and violence, for precious is their blood in his sight. The nations all will be blessed through him, and they will call him blessed. May his name endure forever. May it continue as long as the sun. I'm going to stop there. There's still more, but I'm going to stop there. Lord Jesus, this psalm is about David, but it's also about you. It's a foreshadowing of the king that you are, of the king that is to come, the one who was seated on the throne. And so, Lord, we just invite your kingship, your lordship over us. You will rule over all nations with justice and peace. You will be a perfect king, one that will bring all the nations together and all will bow down and worship you. And so we bow down and worship you today. For you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. We see here, as I just said in that prayer, this is, yes, a psalm about King David, but it's a foreshadowing of the king that God will bring to Israel through the person of Jesus. long may he live, right? The nations, all the nations will be blessed through him. This is a foreshadowing, a prophecy of Jesus Christ. May all the kings bow down to him and all the nations serve him, that Jesus is the king. David was not a perfect king. He was the foreshadowing of Jesus, but there is a king who will come again in glory. And he will make everything right. He will open the eyes of the blind. He will wipe away every tear from the eyes of every man. He will remove all suffering from the world. He will rule with dominion and power over every nation, every tribe, and every tongue. And that king is Jesus. So this is, the psalm makes us look forward to the total and complete rule and reign of King Jesus upon the earth when he comes again. Amen. So let's get back into Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to start. We talked about the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus. And I'm going to start in verse 9, 3 verse 9. It says, in order that I may gain Christ. So he wants to gain Christ. What else does he want? And be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own based on the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that if possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Again, so good. There's so much to unpack there. He says, this is what I want. Paul's saying, this is what I desire. This is the goal of my discipleship, that I may gain Christ. I want Jesus. That's the number one thing. I want Jesus to be found in him. To be found in him. This is language for the end of his life. That when the second coming, Paul's talking about the second coming, because Paul thought Jesus was coming again soon. So he's always anticipating the coming back of Christ. And when he's saying, when he returns, I want to be found in him. I want the Father to look down at me and I want to be in Jesus. I want to be in Christ. He talks about this in different ways, that we're baptized into his death and raised with him a new life, and we are seated with him. And so we live in him. We are grafted onto Jesus. We are brought into his sonship, that when Jesus Christ comes to judge the living and the dead, when the Father looks at us, we are in his Son. This is the only place of safety and security, is in the person of Jesus, to be found in him. This is what our baptism does. It grafts us on. It brings us into, incorporates us into his body. This is unbelievable, friends. Right now, ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, let's stop. Holy Spirit, help us to understand. Speak this to our hearts. Help us to grasp onto this, not with intellect, but with our hearts and our wills, that Christ is in us. We are his temples, but we are also incorporated into Christ's body, of which he is the head, to be found in him. The only place of security, the only place of safety, is to be found in Christ. To be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own based on the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. Not having a righteousness of our own goes along with being found in Christ, because when we're found in Christ, we just release ourselves to him. We're not working so hard to be good, because here's the reality. You cannot be good. Apart from Christ, you cannot be good. You're like, whoa, that's so harsh. That's so intense. I don't know if I want to hear that truth. No, it's not saying you are bad. That's not a condemnation. Only God is good. Only God is good. And our goodness cannot be found apart from him. And what is righteousness? It's right relationship to God. The relationship that the Son has to the Father, right relationship to God. Our right relationship to God is destroyed. It's marred through sin. And we cannot make the relationship right on our own, right? This is the gospel. No matter what tools you have at your disposal, no matter what great habits you have, no matter how disciplined you are, no matter how nice you are, no matter how much natural virtue you think you have, you cannot repair the breach between God and man. You cannot make yourself right with God. So you need to be what? Found in Christ. And friends, this is about surrender. I'm letting go. I'm releasing. I'm repenting. I'm saying, I can't Do it. Jesus, I need to be found in you because I cannot find myself in Christ. I cannot make myself righteous, not having a righteousness of my own based on the law. This would have been radical for the Philippians because they're Jews, right? So all they've been doing is trying to become righteous by the law. If I just follow all 613 laws, maybe I can be found righteous. Maybe God can look down upon me. But he's saying, no, you need to follow the law, right? But the law is not what makes you righteous. It's Jesus who makes you righteous. And now because I'm found in him. So now my relationship to God is made right. I have a right relationship with the Father. That's righteousness. Not a righteousness of my own, but Jesus's relationship with the Father is given to me. Based not on the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. It says righteousness was reckoned to Abraham through faith. How do we receive righteousness? Not through working our hardest, not through being perfect, not through being the strongest one in the room, not through having so much virtue on our own, through faith. Saying, I believe that you are the Son of God. Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word and my soul shall be healed. I believe that you are the only begotten Son of God. I believe that you are the Christ. I believe that you are the one who has come into the world, and I'm putting my faith in you. Remember, we talked about faith is putting all your eggs in one basket. All my eggs are going in your basket. You are everything. I believe in you. I believe in who you are. I believe in who you say you are. I love you, Lord. Right? Put your faith in him, the assurance of what is hoped for and the certainty of what is not seen. And when we put our faith in him, he gives us his right relationship with the Father. Through faith in Christ, we get that relationship that Jesus had with the Father. Why? Because we are found in him. This is the unbelievable news of the gospel. Not just like, yay, like God saves me. We have such a watered down version of the gospel, but now I am found in Christ. What does that mean? It means I'm safe in him. It means that he's my refuge. It means he's my strength. But it also means that he carries me safely home to the Father. I can make it. I can make it to see the Father. And now I am in a relationship with the Father that is the very relationship that the only Son of God has to the great Father. God in heaven has this relationship with me. It's unbelievable news, and he's making it available to you today. And you might be saying, look, that's nothing like my relationship with God. My relationship with God seems boring. It seems lame. Friends, this is not a feeling. It's a reality. If you are baptized, you are in Christ, and you need to choose day after day after day to be found in him. Come to him every day and say, I repent of my sins. I put my faith in you. Be Lord of my life. Baptize me in your Holy Spirit. Touch me. Give me faith that I may be found righteous in the eyes of God, that I may be found righteous. Not from the law, not from my works that are dead without faith, not from what I can earn, but because I am found in Christ. Why? Because he is everything. Because he is the reward. And so I'm putting aside everything. Remember, everything is counted as loss for the surpassing work of knowing Christ. Of knowing Christ. And so now I'm found in him. You today are safe and secure. And Jesus, if you allow him, is bringing you home to his Father. And he's making you righteous. Not by just your works, not by working as hard as you can, but by works activated in faith. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.